2018, Thanksgiving service, Thanksgiving Eve community. This is the anniversary of it, 5 years ago. So what happened was, is there were so many crows that there was snow all over the tops of the roofs. And it was absolutely black because the crows had covered the roofs. They were all through the trees. You couldn't see the moon or the stars because they were flying around. It was a blackout. They were on the roof. As we were in the foyer, out in the coffee room out there, you could hear them pecking on the roof. And as you got out of your car to enter Mission Point, unfortunately, there was not one place you could step without stepping in it. I'm just saying, be kind. And so somebody put us on to this thing called Bird Be Gone, and I am so thankful. So when people say, hey, we're having an outdoor event, can you shut that stupid thing off? This is my anal thing. I'm thankful to God to leave that thing on all time. Because I don't want those crows coming back. So anyway, I'm thankful for our sound booth guys back there. Dave McMahon, Bill Lucas, Steve Winters, and of course our fill-in, Devlin Coons, man. I'm thankful for you guys so much. I don't say it enough, but publicly I want to say thank you. So sometimes when I put my messages on there, I'll forget verses. And then I'll be like, come on, Steve, go to the next one, go to the next one. And he's like, yeah, you didn't have anything after that. And I'm like, that's my fault. So when anything happens like that, it makes him look bad. But no, it's just me. I'll take that one, Steve. Appreciate you, buddy. I'm thankful for our praise teams. We have more than one, if you haven't noticed. We have a lot of folks that can sing. And I'm going to tell you something. If you know how to sing and you have a good voice, go see Pastor Matt Parsons. Because we're going to use you. You need to be up here giving God glory with the talent he's given you. Amen? So I'm so thankful for the praise teams. I'm thankful for our leaders. All of our leaders that we have, our deacons, our trustees, our treasurer. I'm thankful for our Sunday school teachers, not only in the kids wing, but for our teens, for our adults, our Wednesday night workers, Wednesday night teachers. Our Sunday night teachers that we have now, all the folks that do things in the background that nobody knows what's going on except for God, I'm thankful for those folks. Where's Miss Tiffany? Where you at, Miss Tiffany? There she is in the back, backslider. Yeah. I'm thankful for Miss Tiffany. I've talked about this before. I may have the gift of pastoring or shepherding and leading and all that good stuff and teaching, and but I don't have the gift of administration, and I'm going to be upfront and open. She does, and she keeps me well organized and so very efficient, and so I am so thankful for her. I may not say it enough, but I'm thankful for you, Miss Tiffany. I'm thankful for Pastor Matt. Pastor Matt is a great addition to Mission Point, and I'm thankful that God brought him here. He is very... Iron sharpens iron, I'll say that. And I'm thankful that we sharpen each other. And where's the little green guy? Little green behind the ears. Where's Bryce? Where you at, buddy? Come on, stand up. Come on, stand up, be recognized. There you go. It's all right. I'm thankful for you, Bryce. Are you thankful for our youth pastor? All right. I'm thankful for my wife. I hope you're thankful for your spouse. If you're thankful for your spouse, say amen. All right, that's wonderful. First and foremost, we ought to be thankful to God. I think Matt said it very well. We ought to sing with thankfulness in our hearts to God. Did you come here ready to sing to God? I hope you did. Listen, Psalm 69, verse 30 and 31 says this. I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bull which has horns or hooves. Can I tell you something? You know it's better than an animal sacrifice? I guess you could take this to New Testament times. You know it's better than repenting and getting right with God? Giving him praise of thanksgiving that comes from a heart that's truly thankful. Amen? Amen. True thanks that comes out of a heart that is filled with thanksgiving that is offered up in song. I feel sorry for those people that don't like to sing. Those people that don't want to come into praise and worship, they just want to hear the sermon. I don't know what you want to hear me for. I'd rather praise God through song. Amen? Man, I don't think we understand how much thanks we're going to give to God in all eternity. And so we should be practicing it here and now. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, we're to give thanks always for all things to God. Are you constantly giving thanks to God? If you're there in Colossians, let's get into it this evening. Let me show you some things that we should be thankful for. Verses 3 through 6 there in chapter 1, Paul says this. We give thanks to God the Father, to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in the world. Paul was very thankful for believers. First and foremost, those people, he thanked God for people that placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We heard of your faith in Christ and for your love for all the saints because of the hope that is laid up for you in heaven. Do we really pray for people? Are you thankful for the believers at Mission Point? Yes. Do you sing praises to God and thank Him for them? What about other churches, other Bible-believing churches that are of biblically sound? What about those? Do you know Paul didn't start the church at Colossae, but he was very thankful for them, and he prayed for them immensely. You go to chapter 2 and you can find his heart was just, man, he had a burden for those people, those saved people that he had never met face to face. Do we pray and thank God for Christians that are in churches that for their growth, for their faith, thanking them for their gospel, receiving the gospel? What makes you thankful? Do you give thanks for all churches, just yours? Maybe just certain people in your church? Maybe you want a new pastor. Amen? Oh, I couldn't suck you into that one, could I? Look at verse 9. Going on verse 9 through 14, Paul says this. He goes on to say, for this reason, for the gospel celebration that the church at Colossae, all the believers have accepted the gospel. For that reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. He goes on to verse 12 to say, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We're to thank God because He has given us an inheritance. Do you know when you received an inheritance? At salvation. Amen? You were transferred, as it says, from the kingdom of darkness, the power of darkness, and conveyed into the kingdom of His Son. Salvation, it gives us so much. And there through the last part, it says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. Redemption in the blood of Christ, the forgiveness of sin, gives us so much. The gospel that you believe, the hope that you have in this life, the inheritance that you will one day possess, all of it is ours. And it's all because of salvation. See, the gospel, when you believe in the gospel, it should make you thankful. Everything about the gospel should make you thankful when you live out the gospel every day, thanking the Father. Not only do we sing with a heart that's filled with thanks, but we also, as verse 9 through 11 talks about, you want to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, walking worthy of Christ, pleasing Him. We want to please Him, not ourselves. We want to be fruitful in every good work. That gives God glory. increasing in the knowledge of God. And that comes as you're obedient to Him. I think we forget sometimes that it's not so much reading the Bible, and you don't grow in knowledge of God by reading your Bible. You grow in knowledge of God. You grow in knowledge about God by reading your Bible. You grow in knowledge of God by applying the Bible. Amen? You see God by application. And I think we've talked about this before a few weeks ago. Everything that we do is not because of legalism. You will never get to be holy by legalism. As a sinner, there is nothing I can do. And for those in legalism, listen, you can go and you can perform on the outside. I can put on a happy face in the church, and I can do good deeds, and I can help people, and I can look good on the outside. But that'll never make you holy as He is holy. It's not until you come to His grace. And that's why Paul in Colossians 1, he thanked God for their salvation. He thanked God because they obeyed the truth. He thanked God because they were obedient to the gospel. He thanked God because they had an inheritance. He thanked God because He transferred them from darkness into the kingdom of His light. He thanked God for the gospel they received. That's salvation. That's Jesus' grace. And you will never do anything until you come to God's grace. And when you do come to His grace, then you go and you live a life loving others out of a heart filled with thanks. So that you can be obedient, looking more and more and more like Jesus. That's the end result. God created Adam and Eve like Jesus in the beginning. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. God created man in His image. After him, He created he them, male and female. Both of them created in God's image. Sin marred it up. And now the sanctification process, as you're being more and more obedient, you're looking more and more like Jesus. That's what's well-pleasing to the Father. And that's what we need to do, walk worthy. Out of a heart of love, because we've received His grace, and we're thankful for it. We give God glory by bearing fruit, which is done out of a heart of thanks, living out the gospel every day. Look at verse 15 through 18. Paul goes on to say this. He's talking about Jesus. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. By Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, whether they're visible, invisible, whether they're thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things are created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things. And in Him, all things consist. One translation, I think the NLT says it this way. In Him, all things in the universe are held together. Do you know that? That's beautiful. Do you know the laws that are out in the universe are all held together by Jesus? Do you know gravity? Look this up. This is a fun one. Look gravity up. Science will tell you that there's gravity, but they don't know where it comes from. They don't know where it comes from. But nonetheless, it's beautiful because in the Old Testament, it talks about how air has weight. And the gravity of the earth is the only planet. Of course, Isaiah says that earth was the only planet that God created to be inhabited. And so air has weight, and it's the only planet that has perfect gravity to keep oxygen down here at this level so that humans can breathe. Isn't that crazy? Christ holds all of the universe together. If the gravity wasn't like that, we'd float off and oxygen would be gone and we wouldn't be able to live. We'd be done a long time ago. That's beautiful. In Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the first fruit from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Preeminence is first place. Think about that. God created us for His glory. Matter of fact, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7 says, everyone who is called by My name, God says, whom I have created for My glory. I formed him. Yes, I made him. We are created in the image of God. We are created for His glory, and we are created to give Him glory. And you know how we do that? By putting Him first. And you know how you can do that? by having a heart full of thanks. We give God first place in our lives by giving him thanks. Matter of fact, do you know that Jesus did that? You go back through the Gospels, and when you're reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, think of how many times Jesus' first words out of his mouth when he talked to the Father was thanks. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, here's one. He says, at that time Jesus answered and he said, I thank thee, O Father. There it is. Started off, thanks, Father. Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. When he was about to raise Lazarus from the dead, this is what he says in John chapter 11, verse 41. Jesus lifting up his eyes to heaven and he says, Father, I thank you that you heard me. Wouldn't it be awesome? And I say this all the time, and people are talking about prayer, and man, let me tell you, by the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, I can go to the throne room of God and make my request known. And just for that, I have thanks. Thank you, Father, that I have direct access to you by the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? That's the same thing Jesus did. He always thanked the Father. That's how we should. Father, thank you for this evening. Father, thank you for faithful people that showed up. Father, thank you for the. You know what? Let's just thank God. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, because you are the one true God, Jesus says in John 17:3. You are the one true God, the creator of all the universe. You hold all things together. You created everything for your glory. And we as humans, we have stepped over the line and trespassed. We have sinned against you. All of us have. I thank you, God, that you had a plan from the beginning. I thank you, God, you sent your son to be the ultimate sacrifice. I thank you, God, that it gave you pleasure to put him to death for me and for all these wonderful believers here at Mission Point. God, I thank you that we have a wonderful facility, that we can continue to grow in knowledge and grace of your son. God, I thank you that we have so many excited people here tonight to remember what your son did on the cross for them. Lord, I thank you for just the opportunity to preach your word to your people. I thank you, God. And may we have a heart of thanks, Lord, as we come to communion and as we come to the end of our service. And I just say thanks. Thanks, Father. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in John chapter 6, verse 11, when Jesus was about to feed the 5,000, he took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. It wasn't until he had given thanks that they were allowed to eat. Can I tell you, giving thanks to God, right there is the simplest way to thank God. Thank you, Lord, for this food I'm about to receive. Let me tell you something. If you're not thankful for the smallest of things, you won't be thankful for the bigger stuff. Amen? Our hearts should flow from thanks. Jesus' heart did. Matter of fact, so did the angels. So did the creatures in heaven. Matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 4, verse 9, it says, whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and what? Thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. In Revelation chapter 7, verse 11 and 12, it says, all of the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and what?
Thanksgiving
and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Folks, you don't want to give God thanks now, you're going to be doing it in all eternity. Amen? Might as well get some practice in, because eternity's a long time to go. Man. We give thanks to God in two ways. Number one, we give thanks to God privately. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, We see that when Nebuchadnezzar erected the statue, he declared that everybody was to worship the statue, and that was the only God that you could bow down and worship. And so it says, when Daniel knew, even though he knew the document had been signed, he went to his house, and he had his windows open, he didn't care, in his upper chamber, and he got in his little secret room, and he got down on his knees, and three times a day, he prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. It's not the first time he'd done it. When you get home and you're in your private room, when you're in your war room, we all start off with thanks to God. Thanks be to God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Man, in your private place, you know what? You can give thanks for somebody else. You can pray for somebody else. And you can thank God that you can pray for somebody else. You thank God that people are praying for you. I know folks are praying for me all the time, and I'm so thankful for that. I need your prayers. I covet your prayers. And I pray for Mission Point Church. We pray for other believers, but man, we're focused right here at Mission Point. This is our local assembly. And so we're so thankful. And thanks should flow from just being private and open and honest with God. Not just privately, but publicly as well. There's both. There's privately and there's publicly. In Psalm 35, verse 18, the psalmist says, I will give you thanks in the great congregation, and I will praise you among many people. Are you thankful for Mission Point? Are you thankful for Jesus Christ? Are you thankful for God the Father? Are you thankful that you have 100% of the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine that? Explain that to people. I have 100% of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, but so does he. And so does she. And so does she. Well, how can that happen? That's just God. God being God. And I'm thankful that he's God and I'm not. Amen? Oh. Hebrews 15 says this. Therefore, by Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, just giving thanks to his name. Let's look at the last two verses there. In verse 22 and 23 there, if you're in Colossians, Paul says, he has now reconciled in his body by flesh, by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless. This is always talking about salvation. It's talking about the gospel. You live the gospel out every day. That's why I say you go out into the world giving God glory by showing them the gospel, because you've come to grace. And everything you do after that is out of love, because in his body he reconciled us back to the Father. That's what reconciliation is. A simple word. He made two enemies friends again. That's awesome. And now, because I have his grace, I can go out of love from a heart filled with thanks, and I can go be holy and blameless, above reproach before Jesus. Now, this is what I want you to see, and I want you to get, if you get nothing from this, I want you to get this. I want to say that I'm very thankful for this. I'm thankful for people that come to salvation. I'm thankful for programs that we have that we encourage unsaved people to accept Jesus. I'm thankful for so many churches in this. But I want to tell you something, folks. This is something that's near and dear to my heart, and I want to give it to you tonight. I'm thankful for those, as the Bible says, if indeed you continue in faith. Stable, steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you say you believed in. I'm so thankful for people that are solid in the Word of God. They are not shaken. They're an oak tree. Nothing is going to shake your faith because it's so strong in the Lord. And we need people like that. We need more people like that. I'm thankful for those, but I'm thankful for those people that come to that. I love those aha moments. Most of the time when you're a pastor, outside the lights when you can't see nobody. But when the lights are a little dimmer and you can see all the faces, outside of the ones that are falling asleep and the ones you can hear snoring, the ones I like are the ones where they're going, they got it. That guy just got it. I know they understood what I said. They got it. The Spirit gave them understanding and bam, they got it. That's awesome. And I'm thankful for that. I know I'm over the top. I know I give you more scripture than other people do. I don't care. We don't have enough time in this life to dilly-dally around. My goodness, man. Time's running out. Time's short. And we've got a focus that we need to do. We need people to continue in faith, be steadfast, be doggone oak trees that are not going to be moved. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:2, that's just a way for you to remember it. It's all good. And the things that you have heard from me, Paul says to Timothy, young Timothy, everything that I taught you, every doctrine I taught you, everything that I taught you all the time, and you heard the same thing from faithful witnesses. Commit these things to faithful men so that they can go and teach others as well. Folks, when you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus, you need somebody to pour your life into you and disciple you. When you're discipled, you be steadfast in your hope of glory, and you go and train other people up to do the same. Multiplication. It's how the kingdom grows. Amen? We can create opportunities here at Mission Point all day long. Matter of fact, we're thinking about 20 kids are going to come to our little basketball thing and whatever. But you know we got about 80 kids showing up? And then they did the little practice to see where the kids are going to be on a team. And there's like a couple hundred. And then the company goes, yeah, you're probably going to have about 400 to 500 when you start. Oh, okay. Well, what do we do with that? I think a little pee came out of me right there, but... because let me explain. Yeah, that's you're not recording this, are you? Here's the idea. I got to keep them awake somehow. Some of them are falling asleep, man. We got another hour and a half to go. No, I'm just kidding. But here's why I get a little clenched in the tight spot. That's not that funny. Come on. I've said that before. Number one, if you got 400 people going through those doors, me and Pastor Matt can't take them all on. Amen. You got 100 children back there with parents, hopefully mom and dad. 100 kids with mom and dad, that's at least 300 people. We can't witness and pour our life into every one of them. Hello? And that's why I get nervous. God will always give the increase. But we need people that are steadfast, continuing in faith, unmovable, unshakable oak trees to go back there and help us. I need people training other people up. I need people doing what they need to do. I need prayer warriors. I need people to, and man, it scares me. It scares 500 people in this church. Holy mackerel, who's going to step up? Wasn't that Isaiah? He's like, who's going to step in the gap? Who's going to stand in there? And Isaiah says, here I am. Send me. So we got 500 kids and moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas. Where's the ones who are going to step up and give devotions? Where's the ones who are going to pray for the families? When's the ones who are going to pour their life into them outside of basketball and outside of church? You get them through the side door before they'll come through the front door. We have opportunities, folks. But we need more of these faithful men to step up. And women. We're non-disclosure here. Men and women to step up. Man, what opportunities we're going to have. Amen? God's going to bring them. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are what? Absolutely not. Don't say that. Get that out of your minds. The laborers are plenteous. We just need to step up. Amen? We're training you to go and to train others. We need this. Listen. Regardless of your lot in life, regardless of your circumstances, regardless, if you have put your faith and hope in the gospel that you believed in, then you have something to give thanks for. And if you have something to give thanks for, you can show that to somebody else who doesn't. There are so many people out there in that world that don't have no hope. The Apostle Paul gave thanks to God for his salvation. With everything that he did, it flowed out of a heart of thanksgiving toward those who were unsaved, towards that lost world, so that they would come to the grace that he received and that they would have a thankful heart and go love others as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 through 15, Paul says, "For the love of Christ controls us. It compels us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for everyone, so that those who live may no longer live for themselves, but might live for him who for their sake died and was raised." The love of Christ should compel us to go out giving God thanks, bearing fruit for the kingdom, and living our lives for him. So the question then is, what makes you thankful? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for our time. Thank you for our folks. Thank you for everyone that's here. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your love. We can only love because you first loved us. Lord, we've got so many opportunities in this world. Time's running out, but man, we've got opportunities all over the place. We need faithful people to step up and help. We want to be so thankful for them. We want to give you thanks and praise because of the fruit that you are going to allow us to bear. You're going to give the increase, God, but we're the ones that need to do the work, and we need to step up and do it. We love you, Father, and we just thank you for our time. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.